I'm glad for direction in life, Brother Michael. I'm glad in this journey called life, we've got directions too. I'm glad for experts in their field. I'm glad for help when I don't know the answers. And I'm glad this morning for Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord. Little thoughts come to me this morning and desire and interest in your prayers. Where are you looking today? What are you looking upon? You know, you drive down the road and there's myriads of things to look at. You walk in someone's homes and there's many things to look at. When you decide to make decisions, there's many of choices that we can make. All kind of events come your way. I would say this morning, if one thing we could say about life, it is eventful. It's full of things, events that come and events go. Heard about just then in prayer request, the young man that perhaps thought life wasn't worth living anymore and took his life. A lot of things come our way. A lot of things distract us or would distract us. A lot of things say, hey, look at me, look at me. Then we hear the barker of the carnival of life saying, listen to me, come in my door. Yeah. Then we see the people of the world that says, look at the joy I'm having and the fun I'm having. And then we hear the cry of our own heart sometimes in sorrow and pain. I find that it's very important for you and me to know where we're looking and look in the right direction. Did you know we can, had a man friend of mine one time, and he worked at a plant there in Alexandria, and he was going from the plant to the office. Well, around the little part of the walkway that he had to go on, there's an air conditioner that went into one of the offices. This air conditioner stood out, stuck out the back of the wall about, head high, somewhere right in here. And this man's name was Benny, and Benny was intent on a decision he had to make, and he was walking with his head down like this and thinking. Well, fortunately, he had a hard hat on because he walked right into that air conditioner. And it just about put him on his knees. Neck hurt. You'd probably done something like that. Did you know if we walk in life without direction, without knowing where we're going, without looking upon our leader, you know we're putting ourselves in harm's way. Well, today I'm glad, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for you and me. Another scripture that said, he that spared not his own son, how shall he not with him also give us all things? Another scripture said, all things work together for good. Think of another scripture that said, he has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. So this morning, I want to share just a little of the word of God with us that hopefully it will encourage us that God is on our side. His ears are open to our prayers. His eyes are over us. He's looking down upon us. Did you know God can't lie this morning? Well, you know, sometimes in life we think, well, God's not looking. He's already said he's looking at us. You know, sometimes we think God's not hearing. He's already told us his ears are open to our prayers. This morning God is on our side. And I want us to be encouraged a little bit with some of the words of the psalmist. The 37th Psalm gives us a lot of rich blessings from the Lord. A little up here at the top of my Bible, it says, a happy state of the godly. Thank God this morning that you and I are to be a happy people. And you know how we become happy people? Is by keeping our eyes on the prize, keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ, keeping our hearts settled and at rest with him. You know, we're not happy when we're guilty. We're not happy when we know things aren't right between us and our spouse, between our parents, between us and our children, or us and our parents. We are not happy when we recognize things on the job are in turmoil. But did you know what? When there's peace, there's happiness. This morning, praise God, he is the Prince of Peace to us. Young people and old alike, we have a prince. And he says, look to me. And he wants us to live. What kind of life? A humdrum life? A eked out, meager existence? No, he wants us to have life and have that life more abundant this morning. Isn't God good to his saints? Who but the Christian is happy and free, filled with the love and the joy and the peace of God? This is his gift to us. He said, fear not, little children. It is the Father's good pleasure to do what? To give you the kingdom. Not a price that we paid. Not a job. We went out and God has said, I'm going to make monthly mortgage payments. I want to give you this kingdom today in the light of God. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. Rejoice in Him. Praise Him and worship Him this morning. Well, you know, in life then, in this changing world below, lead me safely or gently as I go. Trust in Thee, I'm not afraid. This morning life does change, doesn't it? And things do happen, don't they? What are you going to do about it? One writer said, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I want to point us to Jesus Christ this morning. I don't know where you are. I suspect I know where some of us are because we all kind of travel the same road. One day life is, you know, and one day life is, can't hear this on the tape, but that's all right. life is up one day and down the next. You know, things are going well, and then we get the phone call that, hey, my car's broke down in town, and I think the drive shaft's falling out of it. Or, you know, Dad, I had a wreck out here. I need you to come pick me up. And, you know, we have those events that just crowd in on us. And then we have the voice of sectism that cries out against us. And then we have the voice of the world that says, come over here and enjoy the pleasures of sin. And then we have this old dangerous thing that comes around all too often. It's called human reasoning. I can figure it out. I know what the best thing is. The myriad of things out there. But up above it all, you know, He said among all those hills, God would create or build and place a mountain. Not another little hill, but a mountain. And I want to tell you who's on top of that mountain this morning. Jesus Christ. It's His church. It's His body. And you know what He said about it? The gates of hell shall not prevail against God's church. This morning, Jesus Christ, our answer. Jesus Christ, our captain. Let's commit ourselves to Him. I'm just encouraged this morning. I believe in God with all my heart. Just like we heard last night, I want to believe this. And I find in believing this, there's peace, there's joy, there's a knowledge that I am cared for. So this morning, with all this little preface here, He said in Psalms 37 and, perhaps 3. Well, let's just go back up to the top. Fret not thyself because of the evildoer. Oh, aren't we some fretters? Can't we worry and get in a turmoil sometimes? And I want to ask us something. This is just a little practical message. This is not deep. It's just something. May God help us to be encouraged. Aren't we sometimes a fretful people? And can't we fret about the minutest things sometimes? And I want to ask you a question. I want you to stop and think and answer this question in your own mind. How much good did worry and fretting ever do any of us? Now, why do we still do it? You figure that one out. That is a real answer that I would like to know for myself. Why do we still fret and worry, sometimes complain, scratch our head, toss and turn? Now, I'm not saying to that to belittle any of us. It's just bringing out one thing about us. We're human. We're people. And God knows that today, saints. He said, fret not. Okay, that's easy for you to say. You're God. But what about me? I'm the mere mortal. I'm the man. I have a little bit of time on this earth. I get sick and things don't work out and people sometimes speak ill of me and et cetera. On and on. You know these kind of things. Well, then the Lord says, look to me. Cast all your cares upon me. And I want to tell you why, saints, this morning He cares for you. God can't lie about these things, you see. God cannot lie. He said, cast all your cares on Him. Why? Because He cares. How do I know He cares? John 3:16 tells me He cares. Romans, I believe it's 8:32. He spared not His own Son. We quoted that one a while ago. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? This is what the Bible said. Do we believe the Bible? Then let's fret not. So He said to us, you're human. You got your problems. And there's evildoers out there. People always aren't going to treat you right. And you know, your mama and daddy, children, young people, you're not children anymore, are you? Young people. You know, young people, mama and daddy's not always going to agree with you, and you're not always going to agree with them. And you know what they're going to tell you to do? They're going to tell you to do some things, thank you. They're going to tell you to do some things you don't want to do. That's right. And then they're going to tell you not to do some things that you want to do. Well, you know, fretting comes in all ages. Trouble and worry, where are you going to look when mama and daddy say, no, you can't go? Or come on, we are going. What are you going to say when it's time for you to get the driver's license and mom and daddy says, well, you've got to bring those grades up before you get your driver's license? What are you going to do? You're going to go in your room and pout. You're going to get angry. You're going to go in there and make faces at the mirror because mama's, you know. I don't know if you did that or not. I did, though. Now, what are we going to do? Fret not. That's the commandment. That's the encouraging thought this morning right here is fret not. I want to tell you something. You'll get your driver's license. And then one day you'll be going down the road with your wife and you'll be so tired of driving, you'll say, honey, will you please drive? It works that way. It really does. Fret not because thyself because of the evil doer. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. To us all, I say this morning. And I'm not sending any of us out, young or old. Let's not get all excited because the evil people seem to be having a good time. I want to tell you something. There is joy in the Lord. There's a peace. I want to tell you what the Bible said, a peace that passes understanding. Yes. I'd rather have that. Yes. Well, the world don't understand my peace, but oh, I've got it. And it's real, and it's rich, and it's powerful, and it's mighty, and He keeps me in the storms. And when the fretting times come along, I've got a shelter. There's a place set right there beside Jesus Christ, and it's got my name on it, and it's got your name on it. I'd rather have that. I'd rather have that than the trials and temptations of the world that they cave into. I'd rather have the home prepared for me in glory. You know what's wrong with us sometimes? We're too short-sighted. When I say us, I mean people. We're too short-sighted. But let's get our eyes up there to the mark of the prize of the high calling of Jesus. Where are we looking this morning? What are we observing? You know, sometimes in life we look at the heroes of the sports and we look at the glamorous movie stars. We look at the macho men and the women and all the things, and we hear about Shaquille O'Neal and his millions. You know, we hear these things, and we sometimes think, oh, I wish. But you know what the Bible said? Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, from the end of that man is peace. John McEnroe, is famous tennis player. And some of you younger people won't know him, but he was the prima donna of the tennis world here, 20 years ago or less or more. He was an angry man. He was a violent man. And he just, I won't go into all that. He had an article in Reader's Digest. He wrote a book and they had it condensed down in Reader's Digest lately. And you know what he said? I'm sorry. It really didn't fulfill me. All of that I thought was so wonderful, the millions, all the glamour, all this, that, and the other, all those tantrums I threw, they didn't bring peace. But you know what? People marveled at him, and people wanted to be just like him, and you know, all of this. But it tells me in the Bible, mark the perfect man. You can come down to your end of your life and say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Are we living today where we could say, even so, right here in this evil time, come, Lord Jesus. So the Bible teaches me. This is what God says to us, saints. And you know, we're so human. I'm sorry, Lord. But we still fret, and the Bible said not to. Why? The Bible knows what's right. The Bible knows what's good because it is the Word of God. He said, don't fret because of the evildoer. For they shall be soon cut down like the grass and wither as the green tree. Okay, Lord, what am I to do? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. The promise is He shall direct thy path. And what does He lead you? Beside the still waters. He leadeth us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thou, O saints, get a hold of that one. Thou art with me. Thou art with me, O evildoer. The situation arises. Thou art with me. The decision has to be made. Thou art with me. That trouble in the body comes. Thou art with me. It doesn't matter in that sense because the Lord is with us. Mama and Daddy disagree with me, but Lord, Thou art with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, you comfort me. You're there. So, what do? We trust. We believe. We commit. We put God, or allow God, or how we may want to say it this morning, into our hearts with His fullness. Not in His name, but in His fullness. We allow His Spirit to come in. And when we begin to walk, and we begin to follow. And what did He say about Him? He would lead us in what? All truth. You know, we get to fretting and worrying and complaining. You know what? Oh, saints, watch your feet at that time. You'll lead yourself off in every which way. That old mountain of worry will build. Had I the choosing of my pathway in blindness, I believe, or something like that, I would go astray. Oh, this morning, thank God. Thank God. Thank God this morning that we can trust in Him. Trust in Him and do good. There's an element about fretting that we have to be real careful of. It will cause us to do the wrong thing. Worry and fretting and trying to have our own way, well, it's not a good guide for our tongue. You know, the tongue is a weapon. The tongue is a sharp thing. And sometimes when we're trying to figure it out for ourselves and we're not trusting in God, when we're not depending on Him, and we're so concerned that we're going to take the battle in our own hands, we hurt people sometimes. And we hurt our children, we hurt our parents, our spouse. When we take our minds and hearts off of trusting God, we better be careful. Because it said here, trust in the Lord and do good. Well, I have found when fear, worry, and fretting comes into my life, and I allow them things to start getting caught up, I find my good nature is not so good. Because you know why? I'm worried about old Stan here. And I want Stan to be safe. I want him to have a place where that thing can't touch me. And that's my enemy now. Yes. The Bible told us to love our enemies. Yes. Now, wait a minute. How are we going to fret and be angry at one somebody and then still love? You see what I'm saying? The Bible said trust in the Lord. And in so doing, do good. Well, amen. I don't know about you, but I want to do good. I really do. Yes. I don't have any desire whatsoever to do anyone, any place, any harm. That's my testimony this morning. But I tell you what, if I recognize something's my enemy, without the Lord, my charity kind of slips right on out too. But when I recognize there's a soul, there's someone that's hurting on the inside, and God loves them. And there's a soul that did me wrong, or did you wrong, yet I recognize that there's an eternity looming for that person as well as for me. Trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Extend love. Yeah. Extend charity. Be gracious and kind. He said, trust in the Lord. So you see, the Lord, He said to us, don't you be a fretter. Don't you be a worrier. Amen. And I tell you something else that goes with worrying and fretting sometimes. Murmuring and complaint. And not always, but you watch it. When we start getting all fretful, when we start worrying, mumbling, we get envious. Yeah. Worrying is not a good, healthy place for anyone, especially a child of God. Yeah. We get envious of someone else's good things that happen to them. When we start fretting about, it's just not working out, and then we look along someone driving a brand new car and everything's going great for them, and, you know, we can murmur under our breath.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you something. You want to study a subject to kind of make chills get up and down your spine. You study about murmuring. See what God thinks of that. This morning, He gave us something to do, people. He said, trust. Trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Then we got to get our eyes on Him to trust Him. We've got to read the Bible.
Yes.
We've got to study the Bible. We've got to pray. We've got to communicate. We've got to spend time alone. We've got to get to know Him.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord and do good. Went on down and He said, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Oh, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Got some ladies and maybe some men over here that are doing something real special for us this morning. They're over cooking for us. Beans, I understand. I sure hope they have cornbread. Maybe a slice or two of onion. You know, I hope that's what they got. Maybe some pepper sauce or maybe some jalapenos on the side. Oh, I tell you what would be great if they have a big old nice sliced tomato or two. You know, just for me, and then we'll share. But I hope somebody's over there preparing something. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He has a table spread where the saints of God are fed, and he invites his chosen few. Come on up here. Come on up here where I am. Oh, there's not enough. Go out in the highways and go out in the hedges. Bring them all in today. That's what God says to you and to me. He's no respecter of persons. You hear the preacher or the testifier or that man or that woman that's just got a great big victory in the Lord, and you sit there, or we sit there, I better say it that way, we sit there and think, what about me? Oh, it is you. It is for us. It's for every one of us. God is no respecter of persons. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us all. And he said, come and die. Come on. Oh, listen, the highways and the hedges are full of folks out there. Let's proclaim the good news. Jesus saves. Jesus loves you. Oh, to that weary, worn traveler along the path of life, God loves you, and I love you, and we care about your soul. Oh, Jesus has a table spread this morning, saints. Why do we fret? Why do we worry? Why do we complain sometimes? Why do we find ourselves murmuring? It's because our trust kind of slips a little bit, because we get our eyes on the problem and not on the solution. It's because we get our eyes on this old thing that's happening to me, that old thing that's happening to the church. We get our eyes on the evildoer and all the turmoil that causes. Don't we know God's in control this morning? Don't we know God's going to bring all that to naught? Don't you know the righteous are going to shine more and more and more? Don't you know he's going to lift us up to sit together with him in heavenly places this morning? Oh, don't we understand? Fretting has never solved anything. If anything, it's only added to the problem. He said, trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Sometimes people say, what are you doing? I'm trusting. I'm believing. I'm having faith. I'm studying the Word. I'm committing myself to him. And then he talks to us in the fourth verse. Delight. And we find that when we begin to trust and commit ourselves, we find something beginning to grow within us. It's delightful.
Yes.
'Tis delightful to obey, one songwriter said.
Yes.
We find then, this is great.
Yes. Right.
Worry. I rolled it over on the Lord.
Amen.
This is great. This is wonderful. I don't mean to make it sound like there's not effort. Sure there are. But listen to us. Listen to me. He said for us not to fret, not to worry. He said trust in the God of heaven and earth. And he said then begin to delight. He said in one place, Habakkuk maybe, the joy of the Lord is their strength. Your strength. I want to tell you something. I don't know of one of us that if we don't enjoy something, we don't try to get out of it. Now, it can be a duty, it can be a job, it can be a responsibility, it can be an order. I want to tell us about ourselves. Tell on our own selves this morning. If we don't really enjoy something, you know what we're going to do? We're going to look around for something else. You know, you get a car that you just don't like. I'm not going to say why, because everybody's got their own reasons. You start going to the checkbook, the bank account, and you look it over. I want to get rid of that old thing. And you know, it may be a pretty good car, but it squeaks, it rattles. Oh, it's going to have a new tire. We start finding reasons to get rid of it. Now, sometimes we're able to, sometimes we're not. But the point I'm making is, if we're not enjoying something, we seem to want to get rid of it.
That's right.
We heard about last night cleaving to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Delight yourself in him.
Yeah.
You know a good way to delight yourself in something, or maybe a better way of saying it, a manifestation of delighting yourself in something. And I say this with a certain amount of correction to us all. We need to participate more with God.
Amen.
When we really delight in something, then it's pleasure and wonderful obey. Now, I'm not saying just right here in a service either, but I believe that maybe we could delight ourselves a little more in the Lord, and then if we did, we'd find it more enjoyable, and we would want to participate more.
Yes.
We want to incorporate it, integrate it
yes.
with ourselves.
Amen.
Not only with the church, but with God himself.
Yes.
Then we'd find his commandments of go ye into all the world.
Amen.
Visit the sick,
yes,
etc. We'd find that a delight, a joy. But you know, sometimes we as humans, we personalities are involved in it, I know that. But we kind of sometimes exclude ourselves. And I found this to be a human trait. We blame it on someone else. You ever seen that? We start alienating ourselves over here and they don't like me. They don't listen to me. Well, this group over here, this person over here hasn't done anything. They said, hi, how you doing? Glad to have you. Or whatever. And because of personality sometimes, we kind of feel like we've been excluded. When really the exclusion comes because we won't participate. What more can you do? Can he do? Help me with this. What more can he do for you than that which he hath done? Now, I said that in kind of a song. I didn't get it all right. What more can he do? He gave his life. He came. He said, here, take, eat. Give this to you.
Amen.
Sometimes I want you to go back with me just a little bit on this. I think this is important. The devil sometimes takes advantage of our own personalities here. And we feel like we're not included. And the fault lies at our own door because we don't participate. There's a work day and we don't show up. Now, I'm not upbraiding you for that. I've missed a few too. But I'm saying that's how we become integrated in part. I know it's by the birth of the blood. I know it's by the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I'm not taking away from that. But that's how we become a part is to integrate ourselves. They got a floor to sweep, and much of us are going to get together and sweep the floor and say, where is me a broom? There's someone down the street that needs visiting. Go. Talk. Pray. Say something. You know, a little off the subject here, but to me, delighting ourselves in the Lord means participating with God. And it's not for Brother Stanley, Brother Michael, or anyone else to tell us how to participate. The problem, I think, is sometimes, though, we exclude ourselves. We are laborers together with who? Christ. With God. We, one planted, one sowed, one watered, but God gave the increase. I want to encourage us this morning. Don't fret, but trust. And then begin to delight in the Savior. Delight yourself in the light. This light that the shadows of life cannot hide because God is on our side. Who can be against us? He said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. You know why? Because we're trusting. And because he is able to feed us at that point. You know, when we're out here worrying and complaining, it's hard for God to feed us. Because he can't get us to stop long enough to sit down and eat. Or he can't get us to stop long enough to bow on our knees and pray. We're so busy fretting and worrying and wondering what somebody else is going to do, we don't have time or we don't take time to eat. Oh, this morning, he said, if you'll delight yourself, he'll just give you the desire of your heart.
Amen.
Now that's, I think, that's a phrase that maybe needs a little help in this sense. I want my enemy killed. Well, God's not going to give you that delight. I think our delights and our desires must be righteous. They must be noble in Christ. They must be led of the Holy Ghost. What is the foremost thing we want? We want the water to be calm. We want the peace of God that passes understanding to keep our hearts in mind. That's what we want, see. That should be the desire of our heart.
Amen.
Not that my enemy is going to be slain, or not that I want to get that new car because someone else did, or not because someone treated me bad and I want them to get their comeuppance. No, I don't know that God's going to go around doing those things for us. But he's going to give us a peace and a joy beyond all others, beyond all understanding. And right in the midst of that storm of the life, you're going to look out there and look at there. There's my Jesus.
That's right.
And he's walking on the water.
Amen.
And he's saying to the waters of life, peace be still.
Yes.
Oh, saints, this morning, enter into this relationship with him. I'm just telling you about it. I got a little change and car keys in my pocket, and that's all I could give you this morning. I can't give you this, but come to him.
Yes.
That's what I'm asking.
Amen.
Come to him. Bring him your sorrows, your pains, your trials, your frettings, your worries, your complaining. These things that just seem to jump up and jump up, and about the time you think you're going to do it, all of a sudden, wham, it's the wall again. Bring that old wall. Bring that old mountain. Oh, who art thou, old mountain, before Zerubbabel? You know, that's what he said over there. I forgot the scriptures.
Book it's in. But he said, who art thou, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? Who are you to contend with my anointed? He's going to build this temple. He's going to build this. And who are you to stand in his way? He said in that same place, those old mountains will become a plain before the Lord. And we sometimes get to fretting and that old mountain just pops right back up. But the Bible teaches us that that mountain will become a plain. May God help us this morning. All to trust in the Lord.
Amen.
To kind of what he said to light. He'll give you the desires of thine heart. And I want to tell you something. This next verse is probably one of the hardest things you'll ever do. Commit thyself, thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. To become committed to something, there's a lot of things that have to take place. But one of the main things is a relinquishing of your rights. A relinquishing of your direction. It is a fearful place. Because we, as we grow and age and mature, we develop protections. We develop characteristics. We develop various things. But when we come to the place when we recognize they're really not accomplishing what I need. They're really not accomplishing what I want. They're really not bringing forth the peace that I really want in my life. Then we have to come to a place to say maybe they're wrong and maybe they're not right. I asked a man one time, and he had been struggling and struggling with an issue for years, very long time. Hurts, and you know, the things we struggle with. Sitting in the truck with him one night, and I said to him, let me ask you something. These things that you're talking to me about, and you've rehearsed things that you've said and done and trying to compensate for it, I said, are they working? And I believe the Lord gave that to me. I just said, are they working? And it kind of took us both by surprise, and he thought. He said, no. This has been going on for years now. He said, no. I said, well, then don't you think maybe you ought to try something else? I said, in business, if a product is not selling, if a product is not being made correctly, if the profit is low and the expenses are high, you don't just keep on making the gadgets. You stop and you go to the drawing board. You call the board of directors in. You call the designers and the supervisors and the salespeople in and say, hey, we got a problem. We're making these gadgets and they're not selling. What are we going to do? Well, 10 out of every 20 comes back to us. What are we going to do? We don't just keep on perpetuating the problem. You got to think about that. You know, sometimes, saints, we're going to have to just stop what we're doing and forsake it.
That's right.
We're just going to have to forsake it.
That's right.
Just quit it. Don't excuse it any longer, but that's just the way I am. How many times have we heard that or said that? Well, okay, that's the way we are. Is it doing you any good? No. And you know what? I can say this about myself. I can say this candidly, and I can say this without pointing a finger at you because it's me too. It's so hard to come to that place to commit. Because it becomes all we know.
That's right.
And the first thing you know, we're recognizing it's not getting me anywhere. And the very next day, wherever we turn, back to that same thing, it's not doing
right.
Anything good. Today, I want to ask you this morning, just trust in God. And I don't say that lightly. It's going to take commitment.
Yes.
It's going to take commitment.
Amen.
And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust thereof.
Right.
I saw a death, I had to die. Somebody help me with the rest of that.
Death which my soul cries.
That which, at, what?
Death which my soul cries.
a death which my soul did cry. We recognized I came to this place. And the Lord, how we want to say that, He said, here's the cross. Take it up and follow me. The rich young ruler, if he was young, the rich ruler anyway, the young man, evidently things were going pretty good financially. Evidently he got real enthused about Jesus. And evidently he recognized he was a master in Israel and a teacher in Israel, and he had some enthusiasm, the way I kind of see this thing portrayed before me. And he was getting eager and he was getting excited, and it's sounding good, and I want to do good, I want to do right. And he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, well, you know the commandments. Jesus said that. He said, oh, Master, I've done all of those. See, he was still encouraged. But I saw a death. I had to die. A death in which my soul cried. If I quit that, that's me. That's who I am. I lost it all to find it all. I didn't quote that one right. Find everything. I lost everything to find it in the Lord. One of those songs out there anyway. I saw death. I had to die. And I walked up to that place. And Jesus said, you take all that you have and you go sell it and give it to the poor.
Yeah.
I can't do it. This is my security. This is my retirement. This is my children's education. This is my prestige in the community. This is what people know about me. This is where I get my glory. I can't do it. If I do this, then I'll be poor. And the cross is too heavy. We read last night, the brother read to us last night, and from that day on, many of his disciples walked no more with him. Why? He brought them to face with themselves. They didn't necessarily like what they saw, but they weren't willing to die. Saints, you want peace and joy? You want to quit your fretting? There's a price to pay in itself. And I don't care what people have done to you or me. I don't care what calamities come in this life. I say this with a fear in the Lord. The problem comes back to how I deal with it. It comes back to me. Because you see, we're going to suffer persecution. We're going to have tribulations. People are not going to try to treat us right. The government's not always going to be fair. But I want to tell you where the problem lies, really. It's me. It's whether I have committed my ways to Him or not. It's whether I have taken up my cross daily and am following Him or not. That's where it is. Till I do that, till you do that, we won't have that perfect peace. But He will keep me, and He will keep you, because the Bible said it. He will keep us in perfect peace. Who? Whose mind is stayed on Thee. When we fret, when we worry, and we try to figure it out, and we think the prices are too high, we're not thinking on Jesus. But the promise is, whose mind is stayed on Thee. And I don't know of a better way of doing that than to commit ourselves. And then that long awaited for, so hard to find rest comes to every one of us. What did He say? And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Then He said to us, rest. You have longed for sweet peace. For joys to increase. But it can't happen, the Bible, the songwriter said, till you're all on the altar of sacrifice is laid. So this morning, I want to talk to us about fretting not, about trusting in the Lord, about delighting in the Lord,
yes,
about committing to the Lord, and about rest in the Lord. But it won't happen. What I'm really talking to us about this morning is a death we have to die. A place beside Him. It's unknown to this old world. But there is a place beside Him with all the world shut out. There is that secret place. There is that place of God's own dwelling. And He comes into our hearts.
Yes.
And He dwells there. And He reigns there. But that old thing called self, we've got to come to a place where self has to die.
Yeah.
We can, folks, we can play with this thing and play with this thing. And we can be up today and down tomorrow. We can look like a roller coaster in our life, can look like a heart chart, just do like that. But folks, there is a peace that belongeth, or rest, he said, to the people of God.
Amen.
And the people didn't enter into the first rest God had because of unbelief. That was the only reason.
Yeah.
Wasn't because they was tall or short, man or woman, fat or skinny. It wasn't because their bills weren't paid. It was because of unbelief. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. This morning, I want to invite you to that rest. Like I say, I got some chains and some keys, and that's all I got to give you. Well, I love you, and I'll pat you on the back, but God has got the rest. He's got a peace that passes understanding. So let's trust in Him. Let's be willing today to say, Lord, I give it all to You.
Yeah.
Now, there's a whole different message in that one, because I know it's more complicated or not, more detailed than just saying, Lord, I give it to You. There has to be releasing in these things. But I want to plant that thought in our minds this morning. Let's rest in the Lord. Let's just find that peace that passes understanding. He said, here, it's Yours. It's My Father's good pleasure to give it to You. You pray for me this morning.
Amen.